Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
How to use passive income to give back. That's today's episode. Let's get to it. Hey, everyone. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And longtime real estate investors. And this is the show where we teach you how to create passive income for you and your family, cash flow, so you can spend more time doing the things that you love to do, spending time with your family, not commuting 2 hours to and from work, creating that positive monthly cash flow from performing assets. Now, we use real estate. We use buy and hold real estate. You could buy a business. You could buy real estate. Any kind of performing asset that will produce cash flow every month, that's what we hope that we teach you. Now, every month when you get that cash flow, you're going to start to think about ways in which you should be giving back, right?
Well, we would hope.
We would hope.
Right. Yes. So we want to talk a little bit about giving back this month. The sort of inspiration for this episode came from someone who works for Morris Invest, likes to write us every other week. We do payroll every other Friday. And he always likes to tell us what he and his wife have decided to donate to, which charities are specifically speaking to him. And I love this exercise. He doesn't have to do it. He just likes to let me know that he's grateful for the job and that these are the ways that he's using his money. And so I got to talking with Clayton about it. Specifically, he was sharing a charity that really just, oh my gosh.
This one was amazing.
It's a gut punch.
Yeah, these kids, orphan children,
foster kids
who, when they travel from family to family, when they move from foster care to foster care, they basically, they don't have a suitcase. They just throw their stuff in a trash bag and then they move on to another foster family.
Right.
And so this company, this charity is called, what is it called? Cases of Comfort?
Comfort Cases.
Comfort Cases. Yeah. And so they will actually provide like actual suitcases with
some toiletries as well.
With items in there for these kids so that they actually have something that's not a trash bag.
Now, this is something I had never heard of, and I'm glad that he makes me aware of the things that are values to him and his family. And so sometimes I like to share back what we've been donating to. And one of the ways that I make sure that we always make a charitable donation every month is I make it the first thing that I do after I balance our checkbooks. So I know this is kind of a...
At the beginning of the month, right?
I don't do it at the beginning of the month just because Bank of America gives personal statements on the 20th and Bank of America gives business statements at the end of the month. So I get it either the 30th or the 31st. So then I do it the next day when the statement comes out. It just, you know, I do charitable donations both for us personally and from our business. And obviously, there's tax reasons to do that. And I want to talk about those rules in a little bit. But it also just, you know, every month I like to balance my checkbook, make sure that what I think we have is what the bank says we have. There's no errant transactions. There's no transactions in there that surprise me. That happens all the time, right? So I do this as a ritual. It's just something that I enjoy doing. I like to be alone with my checkbook log.
She puts on a face mask. You know what those are?
Like one of those
green
beauty masks.
Yeah.
That turn hard green.
It's like out of a horror film. If you don't know that she's going to be wearing it, you turn around the corner like,
It's my sign to everybody that I want to be alone with my numbers.
Right.
And so
she prints it out. She'll print out the statements with her little pen and she goes through it all every month.
And so then when I'm finished with the month's log and I have marked all the expenses, I make sure that those are all properly categorized, nothing was missed. Then I start fresh. I have a new spreadsheet that says March 2018. And I make sure that the first transaction that I log is a charitable donation because I think it sets us up in a mindset of giving. I think that it automates this process, right? It's not always the same charity. And a lot of times I just kind of think like throughout the month I'm marking what speaks to me, what's come my way, you know, what's been maybe in the news. And so I just feel like that is an important first step. As soon as, no matter how little money there is left at the end of the month, we always do that first.
And, you know, I struggled with this for a large portion of my life, this idea of like hoarding money. And I struggled with charity. I struggled with it through a large portion of my life because I grew up with such a negative association with money, so that when it came to me, I felt the need to hold on to it. But what happens is when you start to hold on to money, you actually earn less of it. You create less of it.
Yeah.
You create less abundance in your life and you don't help other people. So it was a switch that I had to flip at some point in my life where I started to realize that, you know what, we can't hold on to money. Money is a manifestation and it flows through you. And creating this income that we get from passive income from rental properties, you're going to notice that as this cash comes in from your different performing assets, wherever they are, commercial real estate, residential real estate, you own a business, you have that cash that comes in every month, donate it. Give it out to those people who really move you in some spiritual way. It could be a family that you notice. It could be anything that speaks to you. It could be your local library. You know, your children get great joy from the local library and they need some new computers, and it could really help the entire community. Something that really speaks to you as a family.
Now, obviously we had such a hellish hurricane season last year. So, you know, that was where most of our money was going to. And you can do whatever you want with your money, but this is a business podcast. So I think it's important to talk about how to properly categorize your donations, because the IRS gives you an incentive to do that. You get a tax deduction for charitable donations. So you want to make sure you do it properly. You have to make sure that you're actually donating cash or property. So you can't say, donate your time to a soup kitchen and then get like a charitable donation for your hourly rate, right?
That's very nice.
It has to actually be a tangible asset.
And that's very nice that you do donate your time, and maybe that's all you have to work with. But most people, if you have a dollar, you can donate 10 cents of it. You can find a way to donate some of that cash, and then that's the write-off. But yes, donating your time, unfortunately, it's not a tax-exempt status write-off.
Okay. And so what do we mean by deduction, right? There's a difference between a tax deduction and a tax credit, right? Do you know the difference? It's okay.
I think of like a tax credit as like a solar credit. You know, like we got like, if you get solar panels,
right,
you'll get like
it's dollar for dollar.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So let's say you're taxed on $100,000 and you're taxed at say a 40% interest rate. Mm-hmm. So you're going to owe $40,000, but you have a tax credit of $10,000, it's just dollar for dollar. So now you owe $30,000 instead of $40,000, right?
Right.
Whereas a taxable deduction takes the amount that you're taxed on and lowers it. So you made $100,000, but you gave away $10,000. You're only going to be taxed on $90,000. That's the difference between a deduction and a credit. So a taxable donation is a deduction and not a credit. So it lowers the overall amount that you will be taxed on. Okay. So if I give away $10,000, but I owe $10,000 at the end of the year, that money's already been accounted for. It doesn't affect it. It's
right.
Not a credit. Okay. So you have to make sure that you give to a qualified tax exempt organization.
Today's episode is brought to you by Fund and Grow. If you want to visit more and learn more about it, go to morrisinvest.com/funding to get 0% interest to buy your next rental property. 0% interest. Now, let me tell you how this works. Now, I think the most common question I get from people, whether I'm doing a live stream, a live show, is how can I get money to buy real estate? Well, I always say there's money everywhere. And that's where Fund and Grow comes into play. We've partnered with them so that you'll save $500 off the sign-up fee. And by the way, you only pay that if they get you the money. Now, how does it work? Well, it's very simple. They actually will set up business credit cards for you. Now, these are not personal credit cards. These are business lines of credit. And most of these cards have a 0% interest. They have now raised over $20 million for Morris Invest clients. They sent me over the spreadsheet of all of the clients who've used Fund and Grow, and the number is over $20 million in funding that they've raised in order for folks to buy real estate. Don't take my word for it. Listen to an investor who just bought his second property through us using Fund and Grow at 0% interest.
Yeah, this is Mike, and thanks to Morris Invest introducing me to Fund and Grow, I was able to raise $40,000 in capital to buy my third rental property, and it wouldn't have been possible if not for Fund and Grow.
There you go. It's super simple to do. In fact, what they'll do is they'll set up an LLC. They take care of all of it. You'll never use the LLC for any other reason other than these business credit cards. They'll get you a series of them. So you might get three or four cards. Each of them might have $20,000, $30,000 in limit. And it might add up to $70,000, $80,000, $90,000, $100,000. So for me, I was able to get $176,000 at 0% interest. Now, that interest rate will probably last about, a year to 18 months, depending on the cards. So what do? Buy a smart B-class property that you know you can pull some equity out of, or a new construction property. So for instance, picking up a B-class property that you then refinance after it's rehabbed, pull some of that equity back out of it with, a local bank, with a private lender, and then pay off that card, and then rinse and repeat. And the great process in this whole thing is that Fund and Grow works with you to then go back and get you new cards. So they're constantly working with you to get you more, to get you new interest rates, get you new cards so that you can keep buying real estate. It's a really fantastic program. I can't speak highly of them enough. Their customer service is fantastic. And you're going to save $500 just for working through our website, because we've partnered with them in order for you guys to buy some additional rental properties wherever it is across the country. Go to our website, morrisinvest.com/funding, and you'll save $500 off if you sign up through that link and just type in your information right there, and then you'll jump on the phone and have a quick conversation with them. I can't speak highly enough of them. I really love these guys. Fund and Grow is the company. Go to our website, morrisinvest.com/funding, to see if it's a fit for you.
Now, that doesn't mean don't give to other things that you don't get credit for. Obviously, you should if something moves you, but you won't get the proper credit for it. So a lot of times I see, like on Facebook, you'll see these GoFundMes for so-and-so's daughter who needs a hearing aid, or these like heart-wrenching stories.
Right.
But a GoFundMe page is not a 501(c). It may or may not be. And so sometimes I feel like such a jerk asking, like, oh, I'd love to give to this. Are you a proper charity? Like, I just want to know, because I'm going to put it on my tax records if I do. That doesn't mean I'm not going to give to so-and-so's kid's hearing aids. Like, most of the time I really want to and still do, but I won't put that money aside and keep records for my taxable donations.
Right. And look, there's a reason for it, because there's a lot of companies out there. There are a lot of, we see this like during hurricanes, where there'll be like these sort of false charities that pop up and people will donate. Mm-hmm. That's why they say, no, donate to the Red Cross. Like, that is a charitable, organization. But these sort of other companies will pop up online, and, then you can run into some trouble there. So,
yeah.
But in order to keep some proper bookkeeping, you need to make sure that, because the IRS is going to look at that as well.
Yeah. You have to keep your records, because if the IRS comes back around for an audit and says you didn't really give to this charity, the onus is on you to prove it. You are not going to be able to call the charity. I mean, maybe you can and ask them, but then you're at the mercy of their bookkeeping records. So what I always do most of the time now, when you give to a charity, you'll get an email. So I'll save the email as a receipt. I'll save the receipt of the credit card. And then most of the time, these charities have to acknowledge your gift. So they'll either send you a letter in the mail or an actual, email responding to that. You just have to make sure that you can prove it. Right.
So. Well, we donate a lot to a local veterans group. Mm-hmm. And, whether it's clothing or electronics or other things that help,
We have three kids. They grow out of their clothes so fast. So we always have like a crib or a high chair that we're giving away. Right. The onus for giving away actual things is harder. You have to keep a list of it. It has to be acknowledged at current market rate. That's a much harder thing. You can look that up if you want to. But what we're talking about today is cash.
Right. So using that passive income. So, what is a good amount to be giving away? So you're making now, maybe that you have 10 rental properties and you're cash flowing, $5,000 a month or $4,000 a month. Obviously, you want to hit your freedom number, but you want to look at where in that freedom number you can be donating and creating more abundance in your life and those around you. Because in order to get to your freedom number, I believe it's important to be giving away a portion of your cash every month to help other people. Otherwise, you might not hit your freedom number.
Right. Well, there's this whole idea of being in service to others, right? Being a part of a collective consciousness. And so what good is money if you hoard it inside of your own house? You know, that there's this great example I know of a family that sets out all of their money that they're going to give in any given month, and they represent it as beans. So this is good for kids who can understand algebra or fractions, because obviously you're taking, 10 beans to represent $100 or whatever, and you have to have the kids understand that. But what they do is they write down the names of the charities that are important to them, and they allow the kids to submit other ones if there's something that has spoken to them. And then they allocate the beans, like, should we give this charity 3 beans this month and this charity 2 and this charity 1? And so it becomes an entire family value system, that it's an exercise in sort of, you know, charitable donations for the whole family, and not just, because a lot of times we get busy. I do the checkbook by myself, and then I'm like, okay, well, I wanted to give to this charity, so I'll just do it. And no one else is involved in that. And, you know, then it's just me doing that. So I think it's a worthy endeavor, especially now that our kid is learning to count by tens in the second grade, we should maybe involve them.
So what do you think is a good amount to be giving? Is it 10%? Is it 20%? Is it 1%? What of your monthly passive income? Is there a metric that we look at that we want to hit on?
I think we should. I don't know. I don't think we should judge other people's donations. You give what you think that you can give. Give from the heart and what you think you can spare. You know, I don't think it's right to put any judgment on that.
Yeah. No, I'm just curious, like, from a spreadsheet perspective, like, if that's something we try to zero in on.
Yeah. I mean, we aim for about 10%. And 10% of profits. Yeah. I think there are, I know a lot of, like, churches and religions talk about the 10%, and I feel like for some people that's very alienating. I feel like there's no reason to put a judgment on what you can give. You give what you can.
Right. And there are months when we've had friends and family who've had, you know, been in the hospital with all kinds of maladies and really, you know, scary stuff. And we don't blink an eye, you know? And so those months, maybe it's higher than other months. And it's not like, it's not like we're sitting there thinking, should we go above our 10% because this, you know, this family friend is suffering?
Right.
You know, like, look at it that way.
Yeah.
You know, just sort of blindly do it.
Right. And this friend who, like, a sister has cancer or something, like, there's no way to mark that, you know, on your taxes. You just have to give and, you know, hope that the universe, like, sees it in its intention that it was given. But, obviously, you know, like, recently we did teacher breakfast at our school, and our school is a charity, and we bought that breakfast. I went to Costco and spent $163 on teacher breakfast. So I kept the receipt and kept the picture because I did it. I wanted to, but you better believe I'm going to take that taxable donation.
There's nothing wrong with the tax code. Again, the tax code is written for this, right? The tax code has these things in it on purpose, in, you know, to encourage investment in our communities, to help other people. So people want to talk about how bad taxes are, but look, the tax code is written to encourage this type of thing.
Yeah.
It's written to encourage someone building a local park in your community.
Buying breakfast for teachers.
Right. I mean, look, when you see, like, these charities, these companies that adopt a highway program, right, in order to keep the highways clean so that there's not garbage all over the place.
Is that a taxable donation?
Well, I guess it would be, right? They're paying for someone to come clean the street. I don't know how those always work. I always were curious how those things worked. But nevertheless, if someone's building a park, right, like donated by, you know, the New York Jets, like there's a park near us, it's donated by the New York Jets. Like they built this beautiful park and it helps the whole community. So the tax code is written to help, you know, in those ways.
I mean, I like to think that I am a charitable person, that I think a lot about others and giving. But I also am always on the lookout for the tax deduction, too. You know,
when you're a smart business person, too.
Right. So that doesn't make me cold-hearted. It just makes me shrewd.
No. So that's what today's episode is all about. How to use some of your passive income for those charitable donations and being smart about the bookkeeping. So as that passive income and cash flow comes in your family, you can create more abundance for yourself, your community, your friends and family by giving. We don't want to be preachy about it, but yeah. I think it's really, it's an important part of what we do.
I'll just share how I do that. I keep a Dropbox labeled taxes, and then there it's subfoldered by year. So in 2018, I'm dragging all the taxable receipts into that subfolder. You can do it in Dropbox, Google Drive, your own shared drive, whatever. But just make sure that you've got that, because God forbid the IRS comes around and questions you. You want to be like, bam, here's the receipt.
Here you go.
Thank you very much.
Here are all the receipts.
You can shut up.
Well, that's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you so much for subscribing and making us part of your lives. Thank you for all of your kind feedback and all of the ways that you're motivated to take action. We love hearing that. So thank you so much for your kind 5-star reviews, your thumbs ups, and all of the shares. We really appreciate it. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor, and guess what? Give back. We'll see you next time, everyone.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.